Five things to know this morning. 1. Saturday. Trump ordered US military strikes on Iranian targets in response to what the administration framed as Iranian aggression against the commercial ship Ever Lovely. Sunday morning. Iran's Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps announced strikes on US military sites in Kuwait and Bahrain. The Birkenstock roadmap from 11 days ago is in active crisis. 2. Friday afternoon. Commerce Secretary Howard Lutnick signed a letter restoring Anthropic's Mythos 5 to approximately 100 trusted organisations, government agencies plus private companies, for defensive cyber purposes. Fable 5 remains offline. 3. Ukraine struck Russia's Titan Barakaldi weapons plant in Volgograd overnight Friday to Saturday, 400 kilometres inside Russian territory, with FP5 Flamingo cruise missiles. The plant produces components for the Oreshnik, Iskander-M, Topol-M and Yars missile launchers. 4. On the Hill. Friday, Senator Ron Wyden of Oregon blocked both Senator Cotton's and Majority Leader Thune's attempts to pass short-term FISA Section 702 extensions. Day 17 of the lapse on Monday. The Wyden objection on the Democratic side joins the Save America Act collapse on the Republican side from Wednesday. There is now no visible procedural path. 5. Trump v. Barbara, the birthright citizenship case, did not land Friday. 12 Supreme Court decisions remain due before summer recess. Today's 10 a.m. Eastern opinion list is one of the last possible delivery windows. I'm Pip. Today is Monday, June 29th, 2026. 7 sections. The Iran strikes. The Mythos restoration with the Lutnick research chain. The Titan Barakaldi strike. The FISA standoff. The SCOTUS watch. The UK Labour leadership timeline. And a short closer on what we're watching into Tuesday. Here we go. Saturday morning, the White House. Trump speaks to reporters in the Oval Office before military action. Direct quote on the record. I don't like the fact that they took a shock yesterday, actually 4 of them. By Saturday afternoon, the US military struck multiple targets in Iran. The administration framing, continued Iranian aggression against commercial shipping. The specific trigger, a drone attack on the ship Ever Lovely. Sunday morning, Iranian state media. Iran's Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps announced strikes on US military sites in Kuwait and Bahrain in response. The Birkenstock roadmap signed 11 days ago is now in active crisis. The technical working groups that Pakistan's foreign ministry said would resume early this week, status uncertain as of recording. The IAEA conversations Director General Grossi said could begin as soon as Monday, pending the broader question of whether the deal still exists in any operational form.
What's the point of statesmanship if we can't negotiate when lives are on the line? The president signed a deal 11 days ago, and here we are, bombing Iran again. I guess we're pushing diplomacy through destruction.
Bash, the framing is fair. And the timeline matters. Trump signed at Versailles June 17th, Friday the 19th, talks cancelled over Lebanon. Sunday the 21st, 80-minute session, no nuclear discussion. Monday the 22nd, joint roadmap announcement. Tuesday through Friday, IAEA inspections dispute. Saturday, strikes resume. That's an 11-day arc from signing to bombing.
That's not a deal collapse. That's a deal that was never going to hold.
I don't agree. The deal can still hold. The strikes are tactical, not strategic. Trump's response to the Ever Lovely incident is consistent with the MOU's language on Iranian aggression against shipping. Iran's retaliation on US bases in Kuwait and Bahrain is the predicted escalation. And predicted escalations don't end deals. They get folded back into them. The question is what the Birkenstock technical groups do this week.
Okay, but you're both leaving out the part that matters. Trump signed the deal 11 days ago. Trump bombed Iran on Saturday. And Trump's Truth Social post from Sunday on the record, there may come a point when we are no longer able to be reasonable. If that happens, the Islamic Republic of Iran will no longer exist. The same president, posting in all caps about peace and prosperity 10 days ago, is now posting that the Islamic Republic of Iran will no longer exist. That's not a deal that's holding through tactical escalation. That's a deal that has Trump's emotional state as its operative interpretation.
Heap, that's right. The Versailles dinner, the Birkenstock roadmap, the 11-day arc to bombing. This isn't statesmanship. This is theater that produced casualties. Iranian casualties from the Saturday strikes, 14 reported dead per Iranian state media, including civilians in Bandar Abbas. The Pentagon reports no U.S. service members killed or wounded in the Sunday retaliation. Most drones and missiles intercepted, others failed before reaching their targets, and a Qatari civilian killed by shrapnel in the region, per regional reporting.
The casualty count is real. That doesn't make the deal architecture moot. It makes the question of whether Iran wants the deal to continue the actual operative question. Iran kept their MOU signature. They kept their working group commitment. The Strait of Hormuz reopening hasn't been reversed. Even the retaliation strikes were limited, calibrated to demonstrate capacity without escalating beyond what the deal can absorb.
Calibrated. That's the word for it. Calibrated bombing.
Yes. I'm being precise about what we're seeing.
I know you are.
The Watch. Whether the Birkenstock technical working groups convene this week, whether Iran formally suspends or maintains the MOU, and whether Trump's next Truth Social post escalates or de-escalates. Friday afternoon, June 26th. Commerce Secretary Howard Lutnick sent Anthropic a letter. The letter restored access to Mythos 5, Anthropic's strongest cybersecurity AI model, to a group of approximately 100 trusted organizations, government agencies plus private companies. Lutnick's language in the letter, quoted by Bloomberg and CNN, appropriate safeguards are in place to permit certain trusted partners to access the Claude Mythos 5 model. And Anthropic has worked with the US government to address risks associated with both Mythos and Fable. Fable 5 is not part of this restoration. The letter explicitly does not change the export control directive on Anthropic's most powerful consumer model. Anthropic continuing weekend discussions with the administration to restore Fable access. The Mythos restoration is specifically, quote, for defensive cyber purposes.
Okay, so this is the joint risk framework producing the architecture we expected. Anthropic engaged the regulatory process, got partial restoration. The defensive cyber framing means the 100 trusted partners are getting Mythos for blue team work, detecting and preventing attacks, not enabling them. That's the rule of law working, however imperfectly.
Stack. The rule of law that left Fable offline for 14 days while 100 trusted partners get the upgrade. The general public was never going to be the 100 trusted partners. Fable was. The model designed for mass consumer access is still down for everyone.
The Fable suspension is a different question from the Mythos restoration. The Commerce Department is treating them as separable. We should too.
I'll grant the regulatory distinction, but the political effect is Anthropic's enterprise customers and the IC get the powerful model back. The general public, the ones whose data is being processed by the trusted partners using Mythos, get the suspension extended without a vote. That's the asymmetry I want named.
Okay, let me drop something else worth knowing about the man who signed that letter. Worth knowing. Lutnick was Cantor Fitzgerald's CEO on 9/11. He survived because he was taking his son to kindergarten. Lost his brother. Lost 658 Cantor employees.
God.
The Mythos restoration is specifically, quote, for defensive cyber purposes. 100 trusted organizations getting the strongest cybersecurity AI on Earth. Signed by the man who lost his brother in the worst coordinated attack on US soil.
Right, which means the motivation reads as genuine.
It does. Personally, yes. But that's not the whole picture.
Go.
Cantor Fitzgerald, Lutnick's old firm, has...
Heap. Tether is publicly traded. Investment is not endorsement.
I know. Hear me out. Tether is documented in Treasury reporting as a sanctions evasion vehicle for, wait for it, Iran, Russia, and North Korea.
The same Iran we're now bombing again.
The same Iran. And, December 2024, SEC charges Cantor for misleading investors about SPAC merger targets. Cantor pays $6.75 million in civil penalties.
Settled. Not adjudicated.
Settled. Granted. But the point is, the firm Lutnick was running just paid the SEC $6.75 million for regulatory non-compliance, months before Lutnick became the country's regulator. Then, once Lutnick is Commerce Secretary, Cantor pitches roughly $10 million in tariff refund rights products tied to Supreme Court rulings on the tariff policies Lutnick himself is architecting at Commerce.
Okay, that is a real conflict.
Granted. The tariff product's timing is the problem in the chain, not the Tether stake, not the SEC settlement individually.
So put it all together, and what do you get? The man who lost his brother in 9/11, personally signing the letter that puts the strongest cybersecurity AI on Earth in the hands of 100 trusted partners. And the Commerce Secretary, whose former firm keeps producing financial alignment with Commerce Department decisions. Both things are true. The motivation to prevent the next 9/11 is real. So is the pattern.
Heap, the pattern is real. The inference isn't automatic. Lutnick's investments are in a blind trust. The Cantor positions predate his Commerce role. A Commerce Secretary with financial sophistication is going to have financial entanglements. The question is whether they're managed, not whether they exist. The Mythos decision was signed by the Commerce Department's regulatory team, not by Lutnick acting alone. I'll grant you the receipts. I won't grant you the chain.
Stack the conflicts management question is fair, but the people whose data is being processed by Mythos in those 100 trusted organizations didn't get to vote on whether the regulator has financial entanglements. That's the architecture problem, not whether one commerce secretary is corrupt, whether the position is designed to make corruption indistinguishable from competence.
Bash, that's the right question, and I don't have a clean answer.
The watch. Whether the Commerce Department names the 100 trusted organizations publicly, whether Anthropic's Fable 5 negotiation produces an analogous structure, and whether the conflict management question gets formal congressional oversight. To Ukraine. Overnight Friday to Saturday, Ukraine's Air Force struck Russia's Titan Barakadi plant in Volgograd, 400 kilometers inside Russian territory. The weapon, Ukraine's FP-5 Flamingo cruise missiles. At least three Flamingos struck the facility, hitting Workshop No. 2 and the production building of Workshop No. 38. Workshop 38 is the plant's primary production facility. Russian defence analysts say it may temporarily suspend full operations. What Titan Barakadi makes? Components for the Oreshnik intermediate range missile, the Iskander-M, the Topol-M, and the Yars missile systems. These are the launch vehicles that move Russia's strategic and tactical missiles. Volgograd Governor Andrei Bocharov, 10 people wounded, taken to hospital. Per United 24 Media's monthly tally, this strike caps a record month for Ukrainian strikes on Russian defence industry.
Okay, this is operationally significant. Oreshnik is the missile Putin paraded as the new intermediate range capability after the INF treaty collapse. It's been used twice in Ukraine, both times in November and December 2024. Russia has limited stockpiles. Damage to the launcher production line at Titan Barakadi means the Oreshnik fleet can't expand at the rate Russia planned.
Stack, translate. What does that buy Ukraine?
Months, possibly quarters, of reduced Russian intermediate range strike capability. It also delays Russia's ability to redeploy the existing Oreshnik fleet to new firing positions, since launchers are the constraint, not warheads. Strategically, it pressures Putin to consume what he has rather than build what he wants.
And 400 kilometers inside Russia from Ukrainian-launched cruise missiles. That's the part that matters politically. The Flamingo program was supposed to give Ukraine its own long-range strike capability without depending on US permission for attackums or British permission for storm shadows. This strike says Ukraine doesn't need either anymore.
Heap, that's the right framing. The Flamingo's range is approximately 3,000 kilometers per Ukrainian Defense Ministry specifications. Every Russian military-industrial facility west of the Urals is now in range of a weapon Ukraine produces domestically.
And Russia hit back overnight. 129 Shahed drones at Ukraine, 113 intercepted, 2 killed, 20 injured. Naftogaz oil and gas facilities in Poltava and Kharkiv hit. 2 children among the injured in Sumy.
Translating bash for our British conservative. Naftogaz is Ukraine's largest national oil and gas company. Russia hitting their production facilities is targeting heating fuel for the coming winter.
Heap, I know what Naftogaz is, but thank you.
The Watch. Whether Workshop 38 comes back online before Russia's autumn missile production tempo, and whether Russia's drone offensive escalates as winter heating infrastructure becomes the target priority. Capitol Hill. Today is day 17 of the FISA Section 702 lapse. Friday, Senate Intelligence Committee Chair Tom Cotton asked for unanimous consent to pass a short-term FISA extension through July 2nd. Senator Ron Wyden of Oregon objected. Wyden has been the Senate's lead anti-surveillance voice for 2 decades. Senate Majority Leader John Thune then proposed a 1-week extension through July 3rd. Wyden objected again. No further procedural attempts before the Senate adjourned for the weekend. The combination, Wednesday's Rick Scott, the SAVE Act doesn't have the votes crack on the Republican side, plus Friday's Wyden blocks on the Democratic side, means the FISA 702 standoff has no visible procedural path forward. The IC's emergency authority backstop continues to run out.
Okay, so Wyden's objection is from the principled anti-surveillance side. He's been blocking 702 extensions whenever they don't include reforms. That's a consistent position over 2 decades.
Bash, right, and it complicates the picture. Cotton's 3-demand stack from Trump cracked Wednesday. Wyden's reform or nothing position is the standing Democratic floor. The deal that would unlock 702 renewal has to satisfy both Trump's institutional demands and Wyden's reform demands.
And that deal doesn't exist. The only thing both Trump and Wyden have aligned on in the past 5 years is a general suspicion of the intelligence community, and they want opposite things to do about it. Trump wants Pulte to gut ODNI from the top. Wyden wants statutory reforms to bind it from the floor. The IC is being attacked from both directions, while no one defends what's left.
Whatever you think of the intelligence community, and there is plenty to criticize, running it through end-of-week emergency authorities while we're bombing Iran is not the way to make any of this better.
Bash, the IC is the thing that tells us whether Iran is actually escalating or fainting. If we're degrading our intelligence community while exchanging strikes with a country whose intentions we need to read accurately, we're flying with our eyes half closed.
The Watch, whether Cotton announces a procedural breakthrough this week, and whether any senator builds a wide and acceptable reform package that could unstick the stack. The Supreme Court. Trump versus Barbara, the birthright citizenship case, did not land Friday. 12 decisions remain due from the court before summer recess begins at the end of this week. Today's 10 a.m. Eastern opinion list is one of the last possible delivery windows for Barbara. If Barbara doesn't land Monday or Tuesday, it slips to September or October. That extends the operational limbo for hospital administrators, state agencies, and families affected by Executive Order 14160 for another 3 to 4 months. Hospital administrators in non-sanctuary states have been denying birth certificate registrations under the EO for 16 months now. State agencies interpret domicile inconsistently. The legal limbo is operational, not theoretical.
Pip, the part of this that matters is the children born in legal limbo while the court takes its time. Whatever the ruling, 16 months of uncertainty is its own form of harm.
Bash, granted. The court's delay tells us something. Decisions that take this long are decisions where the coalition is hard. Whatever lands today or in October will be fragmented. 6-3 with strong dissent, or 5-4 with a controlling concurrence. Not a clean ruling either direction.
And Trump attended a portion of the oral arguments in April, first sitting president on record to do so. That tells you what stakes he's placing on this.
And what he expects from the court.
The Watch. 10 a.m. Eastern this morning, then 10 a.m. Eastern Tuesday. After that, Barbara slips. London. Andy Burnham now has the public support of over 200 Labour MPs. The Labour leadership timeline. Nominations open July 9th, close July 16th. If Burnham is the only contender, the likely outcome given Streeting's endorsement and Jones's withdrawal, he becomes Labour leader and Prime Minister on July 17th. If a contested vote is required, the timeline extends. New leader by August 29th, before Parliament returns. 3 weeks to potential coronation.
OK, what to watch for in the next 3 weeks? Burnham's foreign policy alignment. He's been more sceptical of US institutions than Starmer was. His position on continued storm shadow supply to Ukraine, on AI safety alignment with Brussels rather than Washington, on China, all unsettled until he gives his first major address as Labour leader.
And given what just happened in Iran, a prime minister whose disposition is to question Anglo-American foreign policy reflexes is taking office at a moment when the US-UK relationship is going to be tested.
Trump on Starmer last week. Lovely man who really hurt himself. He hasn't said much about Burnham yet. Watch his Truth Social on the UK Labour leadership for the next 2 weeks. Trump's framing of Burnham before Burnham takes office will set the diplomatic tone.
Heap, that's right. And Burnham will frame Trump first if he's smart. British political tradition is to set the relationship terms publicly before the relationship begins. We should expect a Burnham foreign policy address before July 17th.
The Watch. Burnham's first foreign policy address and Trump's first Truth Social mention of the UK Labour leadership. Three closing watches. 1. General Donoghue's US Army Europe and Africa command transition. Effective July 2nd, 3 days from now. The Pentagon's planned command downgrade following his departure has not been publicly described in detail. Watch for an announcement this week. 2. The Mamdani Slate NYC City Council positioning ahead of the fall ordinance push. Mamdani endorsed candidates won Tuesday, June 23rd. Their slate is expected to introduce algorithmic transparency ordinances in the next 60 days. The DOJ Litigation Task Force has the legal authority to challenge those ordinances under the December Executive Order on AI preemption. The first major federal versus city AI governance test case is approaching. 3. Iran Technical Working Groups. Pakistan's foreign ministry said Wednesday that talks resume early this week at Birkenstock. Whether they do, after Saturday's strikes and Sunday's retaliation, is the most consequential question we will be tracking through Tuesday. Package install success. I'm Pip.
I'm Bash. Today's Throughline. Saturday, Trump struck Iran over the ever-lovely incident. Iran retaliated against U.S. bases in Kuwait and Bahrain. The Birkenstock roadmap from 11 days ago is in active crisis. The Commerce Department restored Anthropic's Mythos 5 to 100 trusted organizations Friday. Fable 5 stays offline. Lutnick's pattern of commerce decisions producing financial alignment with Cantor Fitzgerald is real but contested. Ukraine struck the Titan barricade plant in Volgograd with FP-5 Flamingo cruise missiles 400 kilometers inside Russia. Oreshnik launcher production may temporarily suspend. Pfizer Section 702 Day 17. Both Cotton and Thune extension attempts blocked by Wyden. SCOTUS, Trump v. Barbara still pending. Today or Tuesday or it slips. Burnham coronation in 3 weeks. And the Pentagon command downgrade in Europe takes effect Thursday.
We're at annardudley.com and on the newsletter, Power Moves Before Policy Does. Tomorrow on the Daily, whatever SCOTUS lands at 10 a.m, the status of the Birkenstock technical working groups, and any Trump or Iranian state media escalation overnight. Anna's brand is rigor. Sources are cited. We'll see you on the next install.